Hey, welcome back to Crimes and Closets. This is Christy in my closet in St. Louis.
And this is Beth in my closet in North Carolina.
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. How's it going over
there? Oh, hey. We're both asking the same questions.
It's going good over here.
Yeah, same over here. I mean, there's not really a whole lot happening. I feel like we had busy time. And now, like, all of a sudden, nothing's happening. But me, kind of, but not really.
No, I think you have, like, people in town and you're doing things.
Well, I have people coming to town this week, yes. And there's stuff happening, but I'm just saying, like, I just feel like there's nothing really. Oh, I have graduation order due.
Yeah. Oh, you said that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, right?
I have to order cap and gown and whatever else I feel like I need to get from them, which I don't know. It's just. Here,
senior
here, just take
shirts,
all my money.
Hoodie. Yeah. We just talked about this. You got to get a hoodie. You got to get a senior shirt.
Yeah.
What, get one of those mugs? Did you get one of those? They're like oversized, giant. They're not mugs. I don't even know what they are. Oh my gosh. I'm going to send you a picture of mine because I still have it. It's like the largest, most obnoxious thing that no one ever knows what to do with.
Really? I don't have one of those.
Oh, man. I sure do.
I feel like I'd be lucky through if my... I... Yeah, sorry.
I was just going through my yearbooks the other day. And like my mug was with the yearbooks.
Oh, and that's what I was just about to say. I'd be lucky if I had my yearbook. But I think I know where it is.
Yeah.
Definitely
find it. Do you remember, or maybe it wasn't a thing for you guys, when you were a senior and you got your tassel?
Mm-hmm.
That goes on your cap, you would hang it in your rear view mirror. Like it would hang from your. Right?
Yes.
That was the
and
thing.
Let me tell you that, by the way, so I got this like email from the principal and it was like, hey, senior packets are due Friday, blah, 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 blah. And so there's like a link I could click and see all the, like the catalog of things that you can buy. And one of them is, it's the tassel. And the picture that they have is the tassel hanging from the rearview mirror as if that is still a thing.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to hear it. So a fun fact, in my old room at my house, I have there's shelving in there and the shelving has hooks on it and it is hanging from one of those hooks. So it is still alive, my tassel.
Oh, how fun.
I know. I see it every time I go and I'm always like, I really should take that home. That was such a thing. I should really keep that.
It really was a thing, but I don't have mine. I don't think I have mine. No, there's no way I have any idea. But I really don't think that it actually is a thing to hang from your rearview mirror. But it's funny that that picture is like, it's a picture in the catalog. Because I've literally never seen anybody with it.
A bummer.
I know.
Also, you should bring it back. Do they have like senior song? Do they do that? A senior song? Did you have that?
No. I don't think so.
Really? Oh, man. We had a whole – and you get to vote on your senior song. And we have a senior breakfast. I'm assuming they still do this. We had a senior breakfast like during the last week of school at some point where all the seniors would get to go and like have a special breakfast in the cafeteria and then like a senior assembly.
Mm-hmm.
And in our senior assembly, a band, like a live band, would play whatever the senior song was.
Oh, that's
was
cool.
Great. Yeah, because it's like a little concert.
Right. Yeah. No, we definitely did not do that.
That is so sad. It was like the best thing ever to get to like vote for the best senior song and you can't pick anything crappy because nobody wants to hear a band play Wind Beneath My Wings or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yes. But you know what song was popular? Was that when I was in high school or college now? The graduation song.
Oh, yeah. See, we couldn't pick that. It came out the year we graduated and everyone was like, no. Nobody wants to hear somebody sing a vitamin C song on with a guitar. Like,
what year did you graduate again?
2000.
Okay, so that was my college career then.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Because I was like, when was that? But I don't think it was high school. But yeah, no, we definitely did not do anything like that. And I don't even know if my son would know if anything like that was happening because he's never part of any of the meetings. I only know about this graduation form because I got the email. Apparently they had a meeting and he was not in attendance. So they could be voting on a song.
Right. Man.
But anyway.
It's fine. I wonder if my kid's school does that. Totally asking.
You're totally asking if they don't.
Parent. They should. I'm going to make it happen. Yeah. And tassels.
Well, they still do tassels. I just don't think they hang them from their car.
No, but I'm doing it. Okay. I'm sending an email out.
Okay, you do it. Okay.
I do get to do the senior night for football. I wanted to tell you that too, because I'm a team mom. And so I get to participate as far as like organizing it.
Oh, fun.
But, yeah. I mean, you know,
just say no.
It's fun to know how much parents love it.
Yes.
Because I just experienced it with you. So
yes, they definitely love it. It's definitely a cool thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, do you have anything else for
us? No, I don't. Getting not ready for Thanksgiving still. Mm-hmm. A couple weeks. Mm-hmm. Love it. I love turkey.
Okay.
That's it for me.
All right. Well, I guess the only other news is that, just so you guys know, Beth and I both have dogs.
Yeah.
And that is all we're going to say about that.
Yep.
That is it.
Oh, hold on. I feel like you should explain. So we were just joking about how so many podcasts were in this like group thing on Instagram of a bunch of pods, and sharing dogs or just pets in general mm-hmm. is a huge thing. And we never talk about our dogs, but we have them.
Yep, we have them. And that's all we're willing to tell
you. Yep, we have dogs.
I name my children by name accidentally on like all episodes, but I will not tell you my dog's name.
Maybe one day as a big surprise, we'll just post a picture of two dogs and you guys will just have to like be like, what?
Guess whose is whose? Guess the name.
Oh, that would be fun. Okay, we should do that.
I may have accidentally said her name too at times, but I don't know. We'll see. Who knows? All right. Well, if that is all we have for today, we can get going on this case.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
Here we go. This case was sent to us by Emily on Instagram.
Welcome in, Emily.
Yes, welcome. Well, welcome again and again and again, because Emily has recommended several others. Albert Walker and Ronald Platt and the Curtis Flowers case.
Wow, I remember Emily. Emily writes papers on true crime stories, and I can't remember why, but she does.
She's a forensic science major.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So she comes across really good ones. So yeah. This is also a good one with not a lot of information out there.
Okay.
A lot of it actually has just not been released to anyone. So that's why it was kind of hard to find things. But there's just been some articles that have stated that the prosecutors in this case had audio, video, and photographic evidence, but they were always providing a sanitary version of events for the public. Even for the courts, like they provided a sanitary version of it.
Like they had to censor it? Is that what you're saying?
I think so. I mean, that's all it has said is like, quote, in quote, sanitary version of it. So I think it's just so heinous that they just couldn't bring themselves to share everything that was in it. And so it was kept under wraps. And it just, nobody's really talked about it. Her mom has come out and talked since, but still not like in great detail about anything. I mean, I don't know if maybe she doesn't even know. I don't know. Honestly, I have no idea.
Oh my gosh. That must be bad because we know some gnarly stuff.
Well, yeah. And especially this is like 12 or 13 years later that mm-hmm. nobody else has come out and said anything. And I mean, maybe it's somewhere out there, but I couldn't find it. And I searched as many different ways I could, up, down, sideways, backwards. Like, I don't know. But anyways. Emily, our listener's best friend, was friends with the victim in this case.
Aww.
And Emily is from Nebraska, and that's where we're going today.
Nebraska. Okay. Nebraska.
We are going to McCook, Nebraska. It's a small town just over 4 hours west of Omaha, Nebraska, and it has a population of about 7,500 people, according to the 2020 census.
Okay. It's pretty small.
Yeah. It's been described as a safe and close-knit, vibrant town where everyone helps each other. Even after the events of this case, people were shaken and they grew even closer, and some would say stronger, coming out of this. And here's your trigger warning. It's brutal. So if you don't think you can handle a lot of things, then move on. I don't have a whole lot of detailed descriptions, though. But it's still, okay, what we do know still is pretty brutal, and it hits hard. So, all right, let's talk about Kaylee Nicole Clapp. That is our victim in the story.
Okay.
Kaylee was born on July 2nd, 1996. Her parents were Nora and Kelly Clapp. Kaylee was the youngest of four children. She had a brother named Nicholas and two sisters, Rochelle and Karen. In January of 2011, Kaylee was 14 years old and a freshman at McCook Senior High School. She was very involved in her youth group. She loved to dance, sing, go fishing and camping with her family, and she enjoyed taking pictures so much that she actually aspired to be a photographer when she grew up.
I love that.
Yeah. She was the type of person who loved to laugh and loved to make others laugh.
Aww.
On Thursday, January 20th, 2011, Kaylee was watching television with her mother and sister after she got ready for bed and went to bed around 10:30. Kaylee's mom, Nora, had stated that she last saw her around 9:30, and her sister, Karen, last saw her around 10:30 that night.
Okay.
The next morning, Friday, January 21st, Karen went into Kaylee's room to wake her up to go to school, and she was not in her bed. So she let her mom know, and Nora was pretty concerned because this was not normal for Kaylee to do. She called police a little after 7 that morning, and by 9:30 a.m. the police were involved, but they thought she was just another teen runaway, which we always get mad about. And I mean, I understand, but I don't understand. You should still, even if you think there's a runaway, you should still, like, put something out there. Amber Alert, something.
Well, just always there. Presume they're in danger until you know otherwise, instead of the other way around.
Yeah. I mean, I think they should do it for everyone, but especially children. Like, anyway. Especially if you know, like, the parents are saying, like, this isn't normal. She doesn't do this. She doesn't sneak out of the house, you know, and get caught or stay out or, you know.
This is already a nightmare. She was just supposed to be sleeping in her bed. Oh.
Yeah. So they didn't think there was any reason to think there was criminal involvement in her case. So, yes, they're, like, looking into it and they're filing reports and stuff, but it's not as, like, gung-ho as I think it would be. Nora went up to Kaylee's school to talk to her friends to see if they had any insight as to where Kaylee could have gone, and they didn't have any information to give her. As she was walking home, she found some blood just up the street from their home in, like, the alleyway. And she just got this, like, sinking feeling that it was Kaylee's, and so she reported it to police. Police, meanwhile, had gotten multiple leads and followed up on them. At some point, they got some sort of information during that day. I don't know what it is. Again, there's lots of stuff that wasn't told, to cause them to think that Kaylee's life could possibly be in jeopardy. And they even got some tips as to who it could be, and there was a possibility of it being two people. They ultimately rule one of those people out, but they come up with one person of interest. By Friday afternoon, they have this person in custody and are questioning him. This person is 18-year-old Stathis Sebastian Mobley Kirkpatrick.
All right.
Stathis.
Stathis.
I've never heard that name before in
my life. Never. No.
It's interesting. I don't really have an opinion on it. I don't want to be like, I don't like it, but it, because it's just like.
Well, I probably don't like him.
No, we do not like him.
I see where this is going, so we can just leave it at that.
Yes, yes. Nora was friends with Stathis. It's also a hard name to say. As he had gone to the same school with her for a year, I'm kind of torn because of his age. So she must have been a freshman. He must have been a senior when they went to school for a year together.
Okay.
But it's still, like, weird, the ages. Or anyway. So he had moved from New Mexico and was living with an aunt. And he had apparently been having some issues at home and just needed a change of scenery. So he moved to Nebraska with this aunt. Okay. Nora remembers Kaylee telling her about him and that he had had a rough start to his life, but he was a really great person. And that's why she was friends with him.
Okay.
Police were pretty tight-lipped about why they thought he was a person of interest and was not even giving, I think, Nora any or her parents the information either. And it's still not public as to like what brought them to him.
Maybe he had a criminal history that got expunged, like something that happened when he was a minor. And then when he turned 18, it went away. And so they were like, oh, he has a history of something like this before, but they can't say it publicly because it was expunged.
That is entirely possible.
Just a guess.
Yeah. That's entirely possible. By late Friday, they had found a body of a young girl at a cemetery in Bartley, which is about 20 minutes east of McCook. They sent the body to Omaha for an autopsy, and they had to use dental records to identify the victim. And they would positively identify her as Kaylee Clapp.
And this was a week later, you said?
It was later that day.
Oh,
what? Like Friday morning reported missing, not a criminal case. Friday afternoon, they have a person of interest. Friday night, they find her body.
And they had to use dental records?
Dental records.
Oh, no.
As they questioned Stathis, he stated he was with his girlfriend at the time. After police checked this alibi, Stathis's girlfriend, Ashley, could not confirm that he was with her.
Well, good for her.
Yes. She was the other person of interest, but has been proven to like not be involved in this.
So. All right.
They would also obtain permission to search his car and room. That's how it was stated, was permission. So I don't know that it was a search warrant or not. I feel like it would have been stated, but what I had read, it was like given permission. So maybe the aunt just gave permission. Maybe that is a search warrant. I'm not entirely clear on it. And the inside of his truck, and they found blood inside the truck and also on some of his belongings inside his bedroom. Stathis then told police that he had tried to save Kaylee from an abductor who attacked her and then took her to the cemetery and set her on fire. So he went from like not knowing anything about it to, oh, I was trying to save her. So that's how I have like blood. And this is what this person did to her. So she was set on fire. That's why they had to use dental records.
Oh my God.
Identify her body. During questioning, he asked to speak to his grandmother and his girlfriend. And when they allowed this, they brought them in and Stathis broke up with Ashley and told her that he would be going away for a long time and that she screwed him by telling police he was not with her at her house.
Oh my God. It's not you, it's me.
Like, well, and also, so you're denying, making up this other story, but then you ask to speak to this person and proceed to say that when you know police are probably on the other side of the glass listening.
Like, yeah, like, I'm totally innocent, but why didn't you lie for me?
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
I'm breaking up with you. We're done.
Yeah, we're done. We're done, Ashley. So Ashley at this point, like, oh, sorry, I was just about to say, was the other person of interest. I told you that already. Sorry. I didn't delete it in my notes. So
it's okay. Reiteration is never bad.
Okay. Stathis did finally confess to the murder of Kaylee, but he never gives a reason for why he did it, ever. He would be charged with first-degree murder, a weapons count, tampering with evidence, and unlawful burial of a body. And I don't know why you that, unless it's because it was in a cemetery that she was found.
Right.
I don't know. Through the investigation, they discover that Stathis had started texting Kaylee at 3 a.m. He told her he had a belated Christmas present for her and that he wanted to meet up with her. One of the last texts that Kaylee sent was to Stathis to tell him she would meet him at the top of the alley by her house, which is that alley that mom found the blood in.
So it happened right away, even, seems like.
Well, so that's where he initially attacked her. With a knife, stabbed her in the cheek and the chin, and I'm guessing other places because then it stated that he put her battered body into the car and drove her to the cemetery where he poured gasoline over her while she was still alive and set her on fire.
And he stabbed her in the
face.
Mm-hmm. Total what reminding horrific. Me of Judy Malinowski. And
yes.
To be set on fire while you're alive. I mean, don't burn bodies, but could you, I can't even imagine that pain that you're feeling. I mean, painful for any kind of death, but that, oh.
Anyway. And to be a person who could actually do that is like not right. even human. You're not I human, Stathis.
I know. No.
Nora has stated that she believed he liked Kaylee and was upset that she did not have any interest in him. But he has never said that. He's never given any reason. Literally has just never talked about it at all. Stathis would waive his right to a preliminary hearing, which just means that he admits they have enough evidence to prove probable cause to the judge. So he just waives that right.
Mm-hmm.
In September of 2011, Stathis was ruled incompetent to stand trial and was committed to a state psychiatric hospital in Lincoln, Nebraska for treatment. So here I'm going to tell you a little bit about Stathis and his past.
All right.
So you can kind of better understand why he was ruled incompetent. Yeah,
I was like, how'd he get here?
Yeah. Stathis was born March 5th, 1992 in California. He and his mother moved to New Mexico when he was very young. Just before he turned 3 years old, he had a pretty traumatic experience. He witnessed his five-month-old, I believe, cousin get beaten to death by the babysitter.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. From what I can tell, it was his cousin, and that another cousin and he were there when it happened. Like maybe they were all being babysat at the same right. time. Again, not a whole lot of details on this. So that's just what I've like assumed from what I have found.
Mm-hmm.
He was taken away from his mother for a short period of time by the Department of Children and Family Services, but then was permitted to return home. He developed post-traumatic stress disorder and was diagnosed with ADHD and bipolar disorder when he was a bit older. He would go on to struggle throughout childhood. One family member said at one point he was accused or charged. I don't know if he was actually charged or not, but he was definitely accused of rape. But they state that there was no evidence that he had actually committed that crime. And I don't think he was ever like convicted of it. He would go on to have problems with his stepfather, and that's when he decided to move to Nebraska to live with his aunt. Family members knew he had issues and would bring him, once he moved to Nebraska, to doctor because and try and get him help because they knew there was stuff going on. Like but
psychological help?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Or emotional?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But because he was 18, he could check himself out of hospitals if he felt it wasn't helping him. So this is what happened. He clearly needed help, and in a way that I feel like the system kind of failed him because someone should have some way, somehow, involuntarily helped him.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we don't know the circumstances, and so was he brought to the hospitals, and was he just not in immediate danger to himself or others? Because I think that's the only way you can be held.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. So
I mean, they can't voluntarily commit you because someone said something about you. If you're acting normal and pass all their evaluations, there's nothing legally they could do.
I have different experience, but.
Okay.
But yes, I'd imagine that things are different in different places, I guess.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, I don't want to get into it.
Okay.
But I have had experience where it was the person who said something about the other person that was going to cause them to get involuntarily committed.
Right.
So anyway, something happened. This is not the case in this case. And sadly, because I feel like he needed the help. And maybe if he had gotten it, it would have changed the outcome of all of this.
100%.
So after reviewing letters from a psychiatrist and psychologist who treated him in the hospital, they now state that he is competent. And so the judge, when he reviewed those letters, he ruled in February of 2012 that Stathis was competent to stand trial at this point. So a trial was scheduled for October of 2012. In April of 2012, they amended the charges. It was kind of hard to find out to what, because I had all those charges to begin with, and I
but I did find online a 2013 annual report from the U.S. Attorney's Office for the District of Nebraska. And in that report, there's information about the prosecutor and the cases that he had a hand in winning and what he did. And one of these, this case was one of the ones mentioned. Mm-hmm. And in there, it stated that they would eventually find evidence of rape and severe sexual assault of Kaylee.
Oh, okay.
But that's not like, very widespread in newspapers.
Okay.
Stathis worked hard to prepare and get himself mentally well for his trial. His defense team had planned to use the insanity plea. But then all of a sudden in September of 2012, a month before the trial, he changed his mind. And I heard or read that once they had added the sexual assault charge, he got very upset about it. And then he chose to plead no contest to all the charges and was sentenced to life without the possibility of parole.
Okay, well, that's good.
Yes. The prosecutors have said it's really rare to get a plea agreement that ends with a mandatory life sentence. Like, mm-hmm. I don't, you know, so like, it's awesome that that's what he got.
He did not want to go to trial and have all of his sins and stuff come to light.
Well, yeah, I don't think so. And the fact that how like silent he has remained and like won't say anything about anything kind of like is testament to that. Like, he clearly just didn't want to even talk about it. So it's been reported that he didn't say anything, like I said, in the courtroom, but did smile and gave his family a thumbs up at one point. Like, what? Okay. Police and prosecutors did have other witnesses that had stated Stathis had once pulled a knife on, like there was a couple that he had pulled a knife on and threatened them. And they were like, well, there's like that. He used a knife on Kaylee. And then there was another 16-year-old girl who stated that Stathis had also texted her that same night between the hours of 2:30 and 3:30 a.m. And invited her out to hang out and do ecstasy with him, but she did not.
Oh my gosh, was going to kill somebody else.
Yeah. So the whole, you know, he had a crush on Kaylee and maybe she didn't, you know, reciprocate. I don't know. Now that I know there was this, like, maybe it was like he was just trying to find somebody.
It sounds like it.
Yeah. Okay. So it's also possible that he did these drugs if he was planning on doing ecstasy and then committed the crime. Or it's possible that he committed the crime and then he was doing the drugs because he didn't know, like trying to numb it or something. Because like the timeline lines up more with he didn't do the drugs yet. If he had just texted this other girl at 2:30, right. You know, whatever. And then he's texting Kaylee at 3. So I don't know. That doesn't matter. Clearly, he was not mentally stable at the time that this crime occurred, in my opinion.
Right.
It's clear.
Okay.
But it's still a heinous crime and he deserves the punishment he got. Like, no. He is now 31 years old and incarcerated at the Reception and Treatment Center in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Okay.
It's stated there that his next review with the parole board would be in February of 2033, but I don't know why. I thought he got life without parole. I know, but that's what it states on, like, when you look up his inmate profile.
Huh.
It states that on there. So I don't know. I couldn't figure it out because I was like, well, what does life mean in Nebraska? And it's like, life means life. So,
well, no, because like life can be 60 years or 62 years because that's what they determine is the length of a life.
Right. I know. But what I'm saying is when I said, what does life mean in Nebraska? It literally says life means life.
Oh. Oh, wow.
Maybe I was looking at something wrong, but so I'm confused by why he would be up for a parole board hearing, but it's not till February 2033 anyway, so whatever. When I Googled his name, I also found a website called writeaprisoner.com.
Oh my gosh.
And he
has a profile.
That's funny
that you say that because I'm working on a case right now that has a similar situation and I'm like, can I write somebody to have this person kicked off? Because
I know. And this is the first time, like, because I've Googled prisoners before. It's the first time that, like, this popped up as one of the websites for this person. So I was like, wow, how many of the people that I actually researched are on this, like, or are able to write? I don't know. Anyway, so I, of course, I'm like, well, let me click on that and see what it says. It states on there that he wants to find friends to vibe with
and have intellectual conversations with. He likes to paint landscapes and abstract things. He's spiritual and follows a Buddhist philosophy. And it also instructs you on how to add him on the Getting Out app. Have you heard of this app?
No, and I don't like it at all already.
So, well, apparently it's an app that you can use to stay in touch with incarcerated loved ones. Like, that's the intention of it.
All right.
Clearly anyone can get on there, and you can, like, even load money onto their accounts on this app and whatever. Like, how are they using it? Are they giving prisoners, like, phones to use and tablets?
Tablets, like, yeah. Hello, what's his name? Murdaugh. You saw the selfies that got released from his tablet in prison.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I'm guessing they don't have, like, limited access to it. It's, like, probably during certain hours or, like, maybe, certain times. Yeah. Maybe you have to sign it out. Like,
could you just imagine? You and sitting... I get a hold of their screen time and parental controls. We're, like,
shut down.
Yeah. We're such, like, hard. We're so hard lines when it comes to that kind of stuff. It's like,
I know. 100%. I'm, like, the strictest person in the world. Somebody, like, gave me attitude the other day, and all I hit was, oh, now you're on downtime all day long. Sorry.
Yeah.
Phone doesn't work.
Such a weapon.
Yes, it is. It is. So, anyway, so he's on this, and he's looking for somebody to meet, I guess, and to pen pal with.
To vibe with, specifically.
To vibe with and have intellectual conversations with.
Oh, gross.
It really
bothered me. What do you
want
to talk about? Your heinous murder of a 14-year-old kid? Let's talk about that, Stathis.
I know. I know. Well,
delete
he's not.
Profile.
Yeah, it definitely bothered me to see his profile because I just think it's crazy that you can find some random person in prison and then start writing with them and give them money and whatever. But anyways, I will say this. There is a picture of him on there and one on his inmate search page, and he looks healthy. Like, he looks way better than he looked back in the day from when he got arrested. And so I guess maybe the positive thing I can come from this is, like, maybe he's the healthiest mentally he's been in a while because
right.
he's actually gotten help in mm-hmm. prison. And if that's the case, then I'm glad that he got the help.
Yeah.
But
I mean, that
I'm
the system
mad.
Doing right by him is not just obviously throwing a mentally ill person in prison and slamming the doors. It's to
right.
actually rehabilitate and get help for that person.
Right.
So if that is the case, then good. I'm glad that that's what tax dollars are doing.
Yeah.
But
right.
poof. I would swipe
not
left.
On. I would.
Always swipe left to murderers.
Swipe left, yes, definitely.
Just a pro tip.
Anyway, that is all I have for you on Kaylee Nicole Clapp's case. But I'm glad that it could at least pull enough together to, like, get it out there because, I mean, I don't know. I've never heard of this.
No.
I don't know that I would have, but it's awful.
It is awful. And you know what kind of breaks my heart? And I started to mention it when you were saying that the police didn't take it seriously. So it was the parents that went and interviewed her friends. And then it was her mother who ended up literally finding the place where her daughter was attacked.
Mm-hmm.
Like it yeah. wasn't the police that did that. And I just can't imagine. That's like trauma on trauma for mm-hmm. them to not only have to be worried to death, but then to have to essentially investigate their baby's murder and be the ones that are like, this is her blood. I just know it.
Right. Now, I will say, just to, like, give them a mention, her parents don't say anything bad against the police for it. Mm-hmm. They, I think they actually were like, they did a good job once they, like, started doing stuff.
Started working on it.
Yeah. And so they're happy with, I mean, because clearly they got him that day, mm-hmm. figured it out. Like, so it actually did go as well as it probably could have gone. Because it doesn't seem like they would have had a chance anyways of finding her at that point. You know, like, it all happened right away. There was no, like, finding her before it happened, you know?
Yeah, they
you
were know? Sleeping, essentially, and she yeah. snuck out.
Mm. Which, sorry, but the whole time I'm doing this, reading this case and whatever, and then finding out, like, oh, he started texting her at, like, 3 a.m, totally validates my rule of, like, put your cell phone in the kitchen at night. Like, no, you cannot have it in your room.
Literally thought the exact same thing. Like, kids are not, my kids are not going to bed with their phones ever, never now, especially. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think I don't, wouldn't even leave it in the kitchen, because what if they sneak down and get it?
Well, yeah, that's true.
In my bedroom, under my pillow. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I've loosened up on my oldest, because he's going to be 18 like in several months. And so I've loosened up on him, but like, yeah, but definitely like, nope. Mm-mm. I'm not, not changing that rule for anybody younger in this house.
Do you ever think that our kids get like helicoptered a little bit more than other kids because of what we do? Because it's just like a constantly in the back of our minds and what we're reading and what's like.
I mean, it's possible they maybe feel that way, but I feel like I've been pretty strict their whole life because I grew up in a strict household. Yeah. And so I don't know. I think all these things I would have done anyway. But yeah, I'm sure. I don't know. But yeah, we definitely have a lot more knowledge about things. And
yeah, just my oldest has made a comment to me before, like, gosh, you're just so paranoid. And it's like, and I am. You're right. Yeah. I am. And I'm so sorry for you, but you're not going to die on my watch.
Right.
By a murderer. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Agreed.
If I can help it.
Yeah. If I can stop it and prevent it from happening by some silly rule of keep your phone out of your bedroom at night, then.
Yeah. But it's so scary because kids are kids. And I'm sure Kaylee was a great kid. And her parents did a great job. And it's just.
Oh, yes. I'm not saying anything about like.
No, I know.
Yeah.
You can't foresee things like this. They're going to do what they're going to do. That's what's so stinking scary about being a parent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just one crazy person takes it all away. So I'm so sorry it had to be Kaylee.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Yeah. Rest in peace.
Yes.
Also, thanks. Have we ever been to Nebraska?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember.
Have we been everywhere now?
I don't think about everywhere, but I know Nebraska for sure. I know Nebraska for sure in a Halloween collab, but I know also for a case. I just can't think of it off the top of my head. Mm-hmm.
I know. I feel like we should sit and think of cases we haven't been to. Maybe like North Dakota or something.
Yeah. True. We should.
Yeah.
We should be like, okay, here's the states we haven't been to, people. Find us cases.
Yeah. Somebody should do a study, or like a longtime listener who's heard it all. Like, let us know what states we're missing and we'll make it happen. Because we're in season 5.
I know.
Season 5 now for us. So that's cool. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you, Emily, for sending in yet another great case. Christy got this one. I had the other two. Mm-hmm. And so this was one for you. So that's awesome. We appreciate you guys so much. And we certainly are honored to be able to tell Kaylee's story. So thank you for trusting us with that. And thank you for delving in. It sounds like you did research on research, like reports from prosecutors that just randomly mention things. It's always rough.
Yeah.
To have to really read.
I know.
Yeah.
Thank goodness for the find feature on like PDF. And I just put a name in because it was a 72-page document. I'm like, where is it mentioned in this?
Right.
It's like, find the name. Oh, there it is. Okay, great.
Yeah, you did good. We appreciate you guys. That certainly was a heavy one. You were right. Mm-hmm. So hope you guys were able to stick with us and that you're being safe. And we appreciate you and we love you. Come find us on all the things so that we can interact with you. We have a Patreon if it's your jam to get extra content. We'd love to have you over there. I'm not going to promise you it's less heavy because it's definitely not. I actually am working on a Thanksgiving crime for the month of November, and it is something, let me tell you.
For Patreon, so, you're talking,
for Patreon, if you want to check that out. So anyway, that's it. Thank you. And always remember, the world is scary. People suck. Hide in your closet.